Hey everybody, and welcome to day two of the Electronic Entertainment Expo. This is Carl Castaneda, and you're listening to Radio Free Nintendo, courtesy of NintendoWorldReport.com. Tonight, I've got with me Stephen Windy Man Rodriguez. Yes, he was our. He was at the show for us, so he's very exhausted. And
I'm the one who's got all the inside info.
Yeah, and joining him is Michael TYP Cole.
Hey.
Yeah, and we're basically going to bring you all the latest info on the latest games. And but Wendy, let's start off with what you thought generally of the conference compared to last year.
Well, I didn't go to the conference last year, but just you didn't have to go to it to know that obviously the downscale was enormous. I mean, the Kodak Theater seats like a couple thousand, like what, 2,000 or 3,000 people. It's got it. And this year it was held the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium, which is like, you know, 1,000. Probably less than 1,000 even. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was still packed, but it just the scale wasn't as grand, I guess you could say. And that kind of took some punch out of the festivities, because even the bigger announcements, I don't think there was any huge announcements, except for maybe Mario Kart, but that was kind of a given to begin with.
Right.
It just kind of happened. There was very little excitement.
So you would definitely call it a downgrade from last year, then?
Well, I mean, the whole show's a downgrade. Everything's a downgrade. I mean, downgrade M total, am I right?
Now, I know you haven't had a chance, really, to check out the hangar floors that much, because you've been running around so much.
I'm hitting that tomorrow.
But what from others you've heard and what you felt, I mean, what are people saying in general about, you know, workload and just, you know, the manpower and what's being shown?
I think it's kind of depending on who you talk to. I mean, even though I'm running around going to hotel appointments and all the press conferences by myself, it is very efficient.
Yeah.
I mean, in the hour I spent at THQ today, I played all the Wii games and a couple of the key DS games. I mean, I got all that done pretty quickly. And I spent some really good time with them, too. It wasn't just, you know, here's this game, look at it for 2 minutes, here's the spiel, move on. I mean, I spent like 10 to 15 minutes with some of these games.
Right.
And, you know, I had the guy right there explaining it to me along the way. And that could have happened, you know, in the old format, but then you'd have, like, the blaring music and the crowds.
And the
like,
20-minute wait time sometimes.
Yeah, 20-minute lines. So, I mean, just that aspect of it, the hotel meetings, is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But the trade-off is that everything is spread out all over Santa Monica.
Oh.
From, like, all the main E3 hotel is the Fairmont, which is the most north. And down south, they got, like, the hotels by walking is 20 minutes apart. If you take a shuttle, it's about 5 or 6. There's a little bit of wait time for the shuttle. But on Wednesday, I decided to try to save some time and drive directly from one hotel back over to Fairmont. And I think E3 failed to mention that every Wednesday, Santa Monica holds a farmer's market.
Yeah.
So I was coming back down a Second Street, which is like the street just before the ocean, and or just before the coast, rather. And, you know, all of a sudden I see road closed. I was like, what? Then I see people walking out with like, bags of corn and apples and oranges. Like, wait a second.
Yeah, they probably didn't mention that in the little panel.
Yeah, like all the parking structures were full. I almost missed a couple press conferences because of that. But luckily I found a parking spot. I had to basically run down the Third Street Promenade to make it back to the hotel in time. But, yeah, no, it's all good.
Sure. Well, let's get to the game, shall we?
Yeah. All right. Let's get to
the games. Well, okay, let's start out with a game that everyone wants to know about, Super Mario Galaxy.
Ooh, man. Oh, man. Yeah, it's, you know, Reggie said it's the, you know, the first, the real successor to Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
And based on what I've seen and based on what I played, yeah, it is.
So how is the Bee suit? That's what I have to wonder.
The Bee suit, it's cute. It's really cool when you get the bee mushroom. You know, you get the power up noise, and if you get hit, you get the, you know, the power down noise.
Yeah.
So that you know, that's a nice touch. And you know, you fly. You're Mario in a bee suit. There's really not much to say. You have your little timer with how long you can fly.
Right.
And it plays exactly how you think it would, and it works fantastically, really.
Mm-hmm. So you would say it's definitely intuitive?
Oh, yeah.
The B suit seemed fairly closely tied to the level itself with the Queen Bee and everything.
Yeah.
Have you... Nintendo's probably being pretty tight-lipped, but is this going to be a power-up you think that we're going to see throughout the game, or you think they're going to have a lot of variety of power-ups?
Yeah, at the developer roundtable with Mr. Miyamoto, who talked about Mario and Wii Fit also, which we'll get to in a second, he said that along with the B suit, they're also going to be a Boo suit.
A what suit?
Hmm. A Boo, the ghost suit.
Yeah, the Boo suit. That was in one of the trailers, yeah.
Right.
Yes, and they also, and Bill Tran said there's going to be more suits on top of that.
Yeah.
So they're not going any further than the Bees and the Boos.
So, anything else with the game that really stood out about you? I mean, from what I've seen so far, it just seems to be that the objective is get from planet to planet. And,
well,
like,
it's like think of any regular Mario game. But it's really no different than that. The only difference is all like the levels are broken up into chunks.
Right.
So you the courses, you start on this one little area.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the star cannon thing, and it'll shoot through the next area. You get through that part, you go to the next area.
Right.
So it's they're basically stringed together, and when you go through the star cannons in between, you shoot out of them, and you're just flying around space. That
sure.
is so awesome.
You know, it's not all that different from using pipes to break up pipes and doors to break up the level.
Yeah, exactly. But the difference is the level's like completely in outer space. You can see all the level if you look up, you look down.
Hmm.
And you just just flying through space, it's really cool. And actually, how the gravity is like a really important part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were demoing it in the roundtable, a person playing the game was on kind of a smallish platform.
Yeah.
And she long jumped around it completely. Mario is basically orbiting this little platform.
Right.
And that was really cool.
So, and it's running pretty smooth, as we saw in the video. I mean, definitely looks graphically very, very good for
a Wii
game.
Very, very nice. Yes, a very pretty water, fur shading on the bees, and like the outer space backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
I caught watching them play it with Miyamoto. You could see kind of. They're layers of space. It's not just a flat starscape in the background. You kind of see stars moving as the camera kind of moves around.
Yeah. All right, sounds good. Moving on to one of the other big three, I guess, Metroid Prime 3.
Yes, just Nintendo gave us an hour, or gave me an hour to play that game, and I just got that was the last thing I played before I came back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the real deal, man. It's it's awesome.
How's the free aim?
The free aim's nice, and they got the three control sensitivities, like normal, standard, and the expert one.
Yeah.
Retro added a option called I forget what it's called, but you can lock onto an enemy, but while you're locked onto that enemy, you can still free aim.
Oh, cool.
So you can lock onto someone and aim kind of to the side, or
I mean, you can lock onto somebody and still aim anywhere on the screen.
Right.
So if you want to strafe from one enemy and shoot another, you can do that.
So you're saying that the camera locks onto something, but your reticle can be moved around.
Exactly, yes.
Nice.
Okay, got it.
And when you turn on the expert control setting, I think it's called like lock-on free aim.
Mm-hmm.
Lock-on free aim is on by default when you go to the expert speed setting, sensitivity setting.
Right.
But you can switch that off if you don't like that. But when you're playing the game in expert mode, moving the controller, the aim and stuff, it's great. And in fact, after playing the game for about 20, 30 minutes, I didn't want to lock onto anything. I just wanted to point and shoot.
Sounds good. Well, moving on to another game at Nintendo's conference, Wii Fit was definitely one of the biggest splashes at the show as far as what they were spending time on. So what can you say about Wii Fit?
Yeah, when I was curious as to why, Miyamoto came out for Wii Fit as like, why not come out for Mario or why not come out for Metroid? Well, he wouldn't come out for Metroid, but why not come out for Phantom Hourglass?
Yeah.
Why are they making Wii Fit the game of the show, basically? And during the roundtable, Miyamoto said that the press conference is really geared toward the mainstream audience, the wider audience, so everybody knew what Nintendo was up to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why they made Wii Fit the centerpiece of it. But that was right. Wii Fit was basically the first game I played at E3. And after playing it, it turns out that it's actually very, very good. I must say I'm very surprised by it. Because the balance board, it's really not that different than holding a Wii remote in your hand. So let's say you're playing Koro Rinpa.
Right.
And, you know, just, you know, tilt the remote forward, tilt the remote back, the field tilts forward, the field tilts back. Well, in a Wii Fit, there's a mini game where it's basically the same concept like Super Monkey Ball Golf. You tilt a field with a ball on it, and you have to try to tilt it into the hole.
Right.
Go on to the next board. Well, you're not tilting it with a Wii remote. You're tilting it with your entire body weight.
Hmm.
And it seems like it would be easy to do, but the fact is your mind probably isn't in tune with your body balance. So
right.
There was this one board where I had the ball right on the lip of the hole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was trying to nudge it in there with my balance, but I kind of lost my balance and the board just totally made the ball go the other way.
Right.
So you can't take for granted the muscle coordination you need to do balancing. And like the heading soccer ball game that Reggie and Miyamoto were playing on stage, you know, it looked pretty easy when Reggie was doing it. He was just heading like, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 balls in a row. But when you're playing the game, it's very difficult. Because if you, like, need to avoid a ball to the right, and you're still leaning to the right, like, leaning to the left side, your head's saying, go to the right, but your body's saying, no, I'm still over on the left. I can't go to the right now. So as you're trying to balance on your left foot, wanting to go to the right, 3 or 4 soccer balls are, like, blowing by you, and a panda head smacks you in the face, and you lose some points, so...
No, I heard a lot of other impressions saying that it wasn't very precise and felt a little buggy. Would you echo those same thoughts?
Absolutely not, man. That thing was spot on.
Really?
I was like, I was standing on the boards during the tilting board ball game, and I was like pressing my toes, just my toes, into the board, and that registered enough for the board to tilt forward just a little bit more.
Mm.
I think people are saying that it's not very accurate because they're probably trying to use it like a dance mat by, you know, moving their feet around, but you really can't do that. You have to shift your whole body, and you can, if you just stand up in place and put all the weight on your right leg and all the weight on your left leg, your entire body will shift to the left and right, and that's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you had a chance to play some other games today. Looks like you played some Capcom games. Is there anything that stood out as particularly good or disappointing?
Yeah, Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles, I got to play use the zapper with that. First, I'll talk about the zapper.
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't that good of a peripheral. I have this in my impressions up on the site, but basically, it's halfway between a shotgun and a pistol. And if it was a pistol, you could, you know, grip it with two hands and you could still shoot, okay? If it was a shotgun, you could, you know, support it against your shoulder and the two hands are far apart for stability. That would be okay,
right,
too. But with the zapper, your hands are medium close together. And there's you can't support it unless you put it up against your body. And if you do that, your hands are really close to your body. So it feels awkward. And it looks kind of weird,
so
too.
Is it partially an issue of being too heavy or
oh,
not
no,
properly
it's
balanced?
Like, it's a, no, nothing to do with that. It's just that your hands are too close together. And there's nothing... It's like trying to hold up a weight, like stick your arms out while holding heavy grocery bags. Not in a weight sense, but in a balance kind of sense. There's nothing there.
So you see your arms kind of get fatigued from holding it in one spot for a while.
It's not that. It just doesn't feel right.
Okay.
All I'll say is that. I mean, I don't want to... You don't get tired holding it up. It's just a piece of plastic.
So
if you get tired holding up a zapper, then you're horribly out of shape and you should buy Wii Fit.
Well, I mean, that's the zapper, but what about the game itself?
Oh yeah, Umbrella Chronicles, it's it looks like it's gonna be a lot of fun. The build they showed was really early, And it didn't look like it until I asked why there weren't any, you know, blood splats coming out of the zombies when I was shooting them.
Okay, so but, you just said it's pretty early. And
yeah, it's a really early build, but it doesn't really look like it. It looks pretty good for being so early.
Sure.
But basically, all you do is you shoot stuff.
Right.
You know, well, you could shoot zombies in the head, and they'll, you know, kill them. And you can shoot them in the legs, they'll trip them up. You can throw grenades. You can switch between weapons. You can also, you know, pull out the knife in a quick situation.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be really fun.
It's on rails, right?
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah, it's on rails, but you can move the analog stick to shift your perspective. There weren't any parts where that came up. Mm-hmm. And you can also do environmental kills. Like, you can shoot the supports holding up a stack of I-beams, and it'll come down and squish all the zombies running at you. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. It looks like it'll be fun. I want to check that out later.
Sounds good. Well, speaking of third parties, you played some EA stuff, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I played lots of EA stuff. The game I really wanted to play today, played most of the other stuff at EA's pre-E3 event last month, but I really want to try Boogie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the whole package is really well put together. You can do you know, the karaoke mode, and your character lip syncs perfectly with the song, even if you don't. And that you can make your own videos. You can add sort of like text effects scrolling across the screen. You can, there are four cameras you can edit between. You can make 100 cuts in a video. It was pretty robust, and it had a pretty simple interface too. So I was impressed with that. The actual gameplay, you have to just move the remote in any direction or move the analog stick in any direction on beat with the rhythm. And that's really all there is to the game. You just kind of do that. And if you do it well, you get a high score. But there's really no point to it. Like in DDR, you can, you know, you get a score, but you pass the song and you try to step on the arrows. Like, do this, do this, do this. But in Boogie, it's free. You can just do anything you want. And I think the casual crowd will eat it up. But for me, and I'm a music game guy, I personally don't see the appeal.
So it sounds more like a play space with music. Kind of like that DS guitar game.
I guess you could call it a musical sandbox. I mean, they give you a song. You can do anything you want. You can even dance off rhythm. You won't get very many points. But, you know, people are having a lot of fun with it. I had some fun with it, to tell you the truth. But as an actual game,
it doesn't tease you to your hardcore DDR taste.
Yeah, it's Spooky is not a hardcore music game.
It's very casual.
Yes, but, you know, the hardcore music game that was two steps away was Rock Band. Awesome. But that's not Nintendo, but so whatever.
Let's see, what else... Oh, we know you played Phantom Hourglass on DS, so...
Yeah, Phantom Hourglass, everybody who talked about it, even Eiji Numa himself, are saying that it's their favorite Zelda game ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, you're up against the original, you're up against Ocarina of Time, you're up against Twilight Princess, best Zelda game ever. And on the DS, and it's only touchscreen control, and it's the best Zelda ever. Kind of crazy backwards world we live in. But really, it's so intuitive. It just works. You want to go here, just drag the stylus here. If you want to, you know, kill the enemies, tap on the enemies, and they're dead. The really cool stuff you can do is draw the path of the boomerang, of course, but you can also draw a path of the hookshot. So if you want to hookshot an enemy, you just flick the stylus toward the enemy. Hookshot comes out, you hook them, they come in, and you slash them. You can also do like the boomerang, you can select multiple targets. You can also do the hook shot now. So you can shoot the hook shot toward one pylon, and then select another pylon, and then the hook shot will wrap around the first pylon to the second pylon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also tightrope walk across the hook shot now, which will get you over gaps. That opens up new puzzles and new gameplay. And Agent Numa said that the touchscreen allows him to do new puzzles that have never been seen before in the Zelda series, so I'm a lot more stoked about this game than I was before I played it and before Anuma talked about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I played the multiplayer stuff that was on display forever, last E3,
yeah,
and GDC it was nice, but I felt like the controls were a little detached, and so you're saying that you don't have that impression.
No, I think the reason why you thought the controls were detached in the multiplayer mode, and I agree with you, especially when you're like, because in the multiplayer mode you played either offense or defense.
Right.
In offense, you're Link and you try to get a force gems into the goal area, and when you're on defense, you control like the Phantom Knights
right.
or whatever they are. You control three of them at a time, so you really don't have direct control over any of them. You're just kind of directing them where to go. But in Phantom Hourglass, when you're playing as Link in the single player game, you have a lot more direct control over, because the stylus, you can just drag it someplace else if you want to turn around. If you want to turn around in a hurry, you can just move the stylus over to the other side of Link and it'll just turn around in a heartbeat. So it's really no different than a D-pad in that respect. But it's also like your movement is also all of your attacks, all of your special, you know, items, special weapons. It's all you need to play a Zelda game, which you wouldn't have thought until... You probably won't realize until you play this game, but I'm starting to think that Anuma was right about him wanting to get rid of button control in all Zelda games, because he said that in our GDC interview.
Right.
And I was like, what are you talking
right,
about?
I was like,
and then,
oh no.
Oh, this is what you were talking about. Okay. Hey, you're the guy.
But hey, apparently it works, so yeah. Absolutely. Returning to Capcom for a second, there's been a lot of critical hype for Zack and Wiki Quest for Barbara's Treasure.
Yeah,
and, you play that, so tell me all about it.
I'm pleasantly surprised by Zack and Wiki. It's not really a platformer or an adventure game. It's actually more of a puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you're presented with a small level, and the level has a treasure chest you have to get to somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire level is a puzzle. How do you get to the treasure chest? How do you open the treasure chest? Like, one level I played in, you started off... there was just an iron gate locked, blocking the treasure chest. And there was a pot. You'd put water in. You had to put enough water in it to lower the pot and open the gate. But you couldn't just carry water over the bridge that's right next to it, because the bridge will crumble every time you walk over it. So you need to figure out a way to get down through the level a couple of times to get the water in there. And not only is the entire level a puzzle, but every time you interact with an object, it's also a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you pick up if you pick up a bottle to fill with water, you go up to you pick up the bottle, you go up to a well, and in the upper right corner, it gives you a prompt on what to do with the remote. Sometimes it'll show you, like, right out, you gotta, you know, thrust the remote forward. But most of the time, there's gonna be question marks. The game doesn't tell you how to use the remote in the situation you need to do whatever you need to do with that item and that object.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of the bottle, you had to just use the remote pointer to move the bottle around to move it under the stream of water to fill up the bottle. There was another one that was kind of clever, actually. After you're getting used to waving the remote around, you come up to this lever that has like a... I didn't realize this when I saw this because I was too used to moving the remote around. But there's like a D-pad shaped thing with four lights on it. And it had a flashing light pattern. So I was trying to, you know, go flick the remote up, left, down, right to match the pattern. And the guy says, hey, what does that thing look like? I said, it looks like a D-pad. Oh!
Well, there you go.
I really like that game.
It's going to be too obtuse at times. I mean, it's neat. You have to figure out how to control, but sometimes, you know, games, if you just can't figure out what to do, you can't figure out what to do, and it gets very frustrating. So do you think that the mechanic will hold up over time?
I think it will, because the entire game is you have to try to figure out what to do. And I don't think it's going to be a problem, because I think the levels are compact enough, or at least the levels I saw, they're compact enough to the point where you know there's a way to do something, you just have to figure it out. If you mess it up, you can just try again. It's not like you're going to lose that much progress.
Okay, sounds good. Now, I saw this game on IGN a couple weeks ago, and it looked really interesting, really piqued my interest. It was De Blob from THQ.
Yes.
And you played that as well, so tell me all about it.
Yeah, The Blob. The concept is that you start off in this black and white city, no music, mm-hmm. everybody's sad. And you find these little colored guys, and you hit them, and you turn into their color, and you paint buildings of that color. And as you as you add more color to the city, the music kind of ramps up. And if you paint the city different colors, different instruments come in.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal of the game is it's score based. You have to get a certain score by painting buildings. If you flick the remote to jump around, and you could jump between building walls. And doing that will get you like a combo. So if you jump like 9 or 10 buildings in a row, you get like a 10 time point bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain buildings to where you have to grow your blob up to a certain size by collecting the color blobs, and your blob also has to be a certain color. And it's like, so you like be level 5 size red blob to go into this building and turn it into like a music box that pops up and plays more music. Yeah, it's pretty. I thought initially when I saw it, wow, this would be pretty cool, and it is. It's definitely more for the casual crowd. It looks really good. It's kind of got a very nice style, especially when everything is in black and white. Not so much when there's color for some reason, but it does have an interesting charm. And I really like the THQ's bringing it to Wii because. It's kind of one of those original games that
sure.
You know, everybody's been kind of wanting to see on the Wii. So it's pretty neat.
Well, speaking of indie games, you also played Geometry Wars Galaxies, didn't you?
Yeah, that is cool. You know, people are saying, well, $8, $10 game on Xbox Live, how are you going to make that to a $40 or $50 Wii game? Well, they did.
And, yeah, how did they do that?
There are different... grids, you know, like the grid in the Xbox version? It's just a regular rectangle. Well, that's just one slice of space. If you zoom the map out, it's like a Milky Way galaxy with a bunch of different planets.
Wow.
And a bunch of different solar systems. So if I go to this solar system, there are like 9 planets. And if I go to this planet, there's a level. One of the levels they showed off was insane. It was like a hexagonal play field, and there was a big old black hole in the middle. And what happened was the blue gravity grid that tells you kind of which way things go, it gets manipulated if you set up bombs and stuff, it was just completely swirling around like a blender. It is the most crazy thing I've seen. And it not only is for show, because the gravity is spinning around, you have to move your ship with the gravity. And you also have to shoot down the enemies as you do this. And to shoot the enemies, you have to point the Wii remote at the screen in the direction you want to shoot. It felt a little weird at first, and even after I got used to it, it still felt a little weird, but I can see after with practice it can become second nature. So yeah, I had a really really good time at that game too. You know, I think just about every Wii game I've played was really good.
Alright, sounds great. Any other games you'd like to talk about before we go?
Let's see. Let me just ream off a couple of comments from all the players. SmackDown vs. Raw on the Wii. You can use the remote to do taunts. So, you hold down the C button, and you can, like, you know, suck it with DX. You can do the motion, or you can do, like, wave your hand for John Cena's taunt. You probably have no idea who I'm talking about, do you?
I have no idea, but I'm just going to pretend I am.
Yes,
sure.
Everybody out there who knows what I'm talking about, it's awesome. Mega Man ZX Advent. Yeah, it's going to be good, just like every other Mega Man game on the DS was. Yeah, let me just talk a little bit about some of the other games I've seen there outside of Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Call of Duty 4 at Activision.
Sure.
That game is probably the most amazing game I've ever seen in my life, and that's not an exaggeration. That game looked incredible. Everything, the animation was so realistic. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the graphics are, you know, there.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, amazing in every sense of the word. Spoke a little about Rock Band. Yeah, Rock Band. I haven't played Guitar Hero 3 yet, but Activision's got to be a little worried because Rock Band is everything Guitar Hero is times like 11.
Sounds good.
Anything else I saw really quick? No, Well,
that about wraps it up.
Yeah, we can talk about more of this tomorrow. There's gonna be a lot more to talk about. Tomorrow is the hangar day, so I'll let you guys know what it's like in the old hangar with all the games and all the small little 10x10 booths.
Absolutely. That's right. Nintendo World Report will be bringing you more podcasts about E3, so stay tuned. Until then, this has been Carl Cass, Deanna Steven, Wendy Man Rodriguez, and Michael TYP Cole. Guys, thank you so much for stopping by. It's really great to find out what these games were like at the show, so good on ya. Alrighty, folks. See you next time.